So you've had a lot of experience here at the ICTR over several years and more than one case.
Right.
Before we turn to specifics of the conversation, is there anything that you would like to share or speak about?
Well, there are a lot of things I want to talk about, so maybe you can lead me a little bit. I mean, there are a number of issues I want to talk about in terms of the, but you should tell me what it is that you might be interested in or what you want to get some information about.
That you have mentioned to me in some of our other conversations has to do with issues tied to the RPF. Would you like to speak to that?
Yeah. I mean, I came here with the perspective or view that, or expectation that I thought that international justice or the fora in which international justice was dispensed were somehow different than my previous experiences at Legal Aid. And I would say they are, but what I was looking for, because as a defense lawyer for Legal Aid, we're always critical of, you know, the policies or rulings that deny our clients, the defendants, their rights before the law, even though these are rights that are legislated in constitutions, Bill of Rights, et cetera, et cetera. Here, the tribunal for ICTY and ICTR were put into place initially in 94 by SC Resolution 955. The mandate of that resolution was to prosecute both sides of the conflict during its temporal jurisdiction of 1994. Since I have been here, but also from my reading of the pleadings and judgments, etc., only one side has ever been prosecuted here. Only Hutus have been in the dock here. There has never been a Tutsi from the RPF in the dock here. This is important because there were two sides to the conflict, and there's been mounting evidence, which was available in 94 up to today, of the crimes of the RPF. And particularly here, in the last two or three years, 2006, Judge Brugère and more recently Spanish Judge Abreu have documented allegations concerning crimes. Judge Brugère issued arrest warrants for many people who were in the former RPF and the government of current President Paul Kagame. Could not issue an arrest warrant for Paul Kagame, although he had evidence on which to base that, because of his head of state immunity. And we have asked that, in light of this public evidence, that the ICTR prosecution's office pursue it. There's been no response at all, at least certainly that I know about. Moreover, when there was a little different response in the prosecutor's office, there was a problem. The prosecutor, Carlo Del Ponte, for example, initiated special investigations around 2002 to 2003 into the crimes of the RPF. As a result of that, and she has said this publicly in news, my information comes from news articles, she has said publicly, her contract in September 2003 as the prosecutor for ICTY and ICTR was not renewed for ICTR, and someone else was appointed. She essentially was punished. During that same period of time, while these investigations had been initiated by her. In that period also was the Baraguiza decision, where the appeals chamber basically released Baraguiza, and through the machinations of the prosecution going to the appeals chamber on what they alleged, I think, was a new fact, but not really new facts, the appeals chamber reversed that decision. The third thing that happened in that period of time, based on the country reports of the U.S. State Department, probably 2003, but don't quote me, maybe 3 or 4, was the State Department, our State Department, talked about how Rwanda was not complying with its obligations to send witnesses, to allow witnesses to travel to Rwanda. So you have these three examples of what happened, the holding witnesses hostages by Rwanda, the denial of the appointment of Del Ponte, these examples to her action where she initiated special investigations. Now, there are no special investigations that I know about. The prosecution office now may claim it's investigating. I don't know. The other problem is that I have been told that some of the crimes attributed, or the allegations of crimes attributed to the RPF by Judge Abreu in Spain, who actually issued indictments, are the same crimes that have been attributed to some defendants here. And this is a very, very serious, I mean, it's an egregious case, you know, of fair trial and presumption of innocence, in violation of presumption of innocence. So bottom line is that this tribunal, which I believed should have looked at both sides, has not, and it's not for lack of evidence, proof, or international judges making findings that implicate the RPF.
So, and when you say that when you went to speak with the prosecution here about pursuing some of this and you got no response, what kind of response would you have been looking for? Okay. What would you have wanted to have seen?
Let me correct you. I didn't speak with him personally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these were, I don't, mm-hmm. I didn't speak with him personally. But the documentation I know, it's Bruguière's International Arrest Warrant, which is 60 pages in French, with, you know, and all the factual basis for his final determination, and Abreu's documents are public documents. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would assume that they were aware. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that the prosecution, I've seen, you know, periodically in statements to the SC or the GA says, oh, we're investigating the RPF or whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but in response to Bruguière, there's been nothing. In response to Abreu, there's been nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a question you would have to ask them what their response is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their response is, but the evidence is there, and I feel that it's an example of the politicization of the prosecution.